Sports, 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 sports.
You, okay over there?
Just trying to psych myself up for all the exciting things that could be coming to Utah in the next few years.
That's right. Utah wants big time sports. Not only is the state crazy about the hometown Utah Jazz and Real Salt Lake, but they've also got the hots for America's pastime baseball and Canada's wintertime obsession.
Ice fishing? Wait, curling.
No, hockey. I'm Sean Higgins.
And I'm Sage Miller. This week on State Street, we're talking about sports.
We've got the play-by-play on bringing Major League sports to Utah. It would have big economic, infrastructure, and cultural impacts.
The Utah legislature has passed resolutions this session supporting the state in courting Major League Baseball and hockey franchises in the coming years. And lawmakers have a few ideas for how that will all work.
Oh yeah, and there's this little thing called the Olympics. It's almost guaranteed to return to the state in 2034.
So ladies and gentlemen, start your engines!
Wrong sport, but I love the enthusiasm. The Utah Jazz came to the Beehive State in 1979. If the name Jazz sounds a little weird for a team based in Utah, that's because they were originally from New Orleans.
Real Salt Lake was a Major League Soccer expansion team in 2005. They even won an MLS championship in 2009. And after a couple years of no Major League women's soccer in Utah, the Utah Royals are back.
Even though the Jazz have never won a championship, they're the most popular pro team in Utah and have a storied history. There were the famous back-to-back trips to the finals in the 90s against Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls, with all-star players like John Stockton and Karl Malone. And they've been a regular playoff team in recent seasons.
Speaking of all-stars, Salt Lake City hosted the NBA's all-star game in 2023. But the city didn't exactly get glowing reviews.
These people going to heaven up this way ain't nothing to do with this boring-ass city. Oh, my gosh. I've never ate so much room service in my life. Can't smoke, can't drink. These people going to heaven.
That was NBA legends Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal. They had some colorful thoughts on the SLC scene.
Yep, and there were some clapbacks. State Senator Nate Bluin told the duo to, quote, do better on Twitter. But that was the headline. Boring ass city.
At least we're all going to heaven.
There is that, yeah.
And yes, Utah does have some funny and occasionally strict liquor and tobacco laws, but you can still drink and smoke legally. Even medical marijuana is legal here.
You just can't gamble. But that's where the tension lies. Utah wants Major League Baseball and hockey. It wants the Olympics. It doesn't want the reputation that it's a boring place with bad food.
Boring ass, you mean?
Of course. My bad. But it also still wants to stay true to itself.
That brings us to today. Utah is going hard in the paint for some new sports franchises. Let's make one thing clear. Utah does already have baseball and hockey, but they're both minor league teams. You've got the AAA B's baseball team, which is a feeder for the MLB's Los Angeles Angels, and the Grizzlies, a hockey affiliate for the Colorado Avalanche of the NHL.
But that could change. There are some heavy hitters making the case for why Utah should have major league teams.
On the baseball side, B's owner, the Larry H. Miller Group, announced last April its intent to catch an MLB team. It's pouring money into that chase.
Skating into the hockey rink is the Smith Entertainment Group. It owns the Utah Jazz and wrote a letter in January to formally petition the NHL to bring a major league hockey team here.
Arguments for both sports are that future teams would thrive in Utah. We have a young fan base, a strong economy, and are recognized as a global mecca of winter sports. And lawmakers are totally here for it. They passed two resolutions supporting those efforts. Here's how Republican Senators Lincoln Fillmore and Dan McKay put it.
Be it further resolved that the only appropriate response to the suggestion that any other city or state is better prepared than Salt Lake City and the state of Utah for major league expansion is, you're killing me, Smalls.
And Be it further resolved that the legislature supports the Smith Entertainment Group's efforts, knowing you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. By the great one, Wayne Gretzky.
I mean, come on, Sean. You can hear the excitement in their voices.
Quoting The Sandlot is a nice touch. Fun fact, filmed in Utah. Saying we want more sports teams is one thing, but actually getting them here is another. We'd be a small market for both of these leagues. And leagues care about market size. They make a lot of their money on media and broadcast rights.
Leagues need to get something out of the arrangement. They won't approve an expansion just because. So touting growth is all fine and good, but it is betting on a future audience.
Plus, there's the issue of where these sports would be played. Utah doesn't have a Major League Baseball stadium. The Bees are getting a new facility in Daybreak in 2025, but that's still for the minor league team.
And although you can play hockey at the Delta Center where the Jazz are, and the Maverick Center in West Valley City, and the Peaks Ice Arena in Provo, they're not ideal for a full-time NHL team.
Think things like bad sight lines for fans and bad parking options. Also, kind of on the small side if you want to draw big crowds.
Utah lawmakers are busy thinking about this, so much so that they started to get the ball rolling, and the teams aren't even confirmed yet.
Let's start with hockey. SB 272 passed out of committee last week. It would pave the way for what it calls a sports and entertainment project area in Utah's capital city.
The bill allows the city to create and levy taxes that would help fund a hockey and basketball stadium project to the tune of $1 billion. And yes, you taxpayers who live in Salt Lake City or spend money in the city will help pay for it. It also outlines what you have to have for that project area and what the money can be used for. Sponsor Dan McKay brought it all together when describing the bill.
That as we flash forward to the 2034 Olympic and Paralympic Winter Games, let's imagine a parade in downtown Salt Lake City after we win the Stanley Cup, an NBA championship, and an MLB championship, chasing the gold medals of our American athletes. That moment will be a celebration of today's leadership if we invest.
That's the future many local officials and leaders say they want. Salt Lake City Mayor Aaron Mendenhall, the Salt Lake City Council, County Mayor Jenny Wilson, and Ryan and Ashley Smith with the Smith Entertainment Group released a joint statement supporting the bill. They said they're working hard to keep the Utah Jazz in downtown Salt Lake City long term and attract the NHL to the core of the city.
But again, that all takes money. There's no two ways around it. Modern sports arenas are expensive. Running a major league team is expensive. And there's also fees to start a team in the first place. We're talking in the billions of dollars just to get them here.
Off the ice and into the batter's box now. Let's move on to the baseball side of things. HB 562 would create a Fair Park Area Investment and Restoration District.
Fair Park is a neighborhood on Salt Lake City's west side. It's just north of Interstate 80 between downtown and the airport.
If the Larry H. Miller Group is successful in its MLB bid, the project to build a baseball and entertainment district at the site has a hefty price tag. $4.5 billion.
That could include almost $1 billion in public money, just like the hockey and basketball stadium.
The economic argument is that these kinds of franchises would contribute much more than that in the long run. Surrounding businesses would also get a boost, not to mention all the taxes that get collected from tickets, food, and other things in the area. For some, that would make the price tag worth it. The keywords here, public-private partnership. Lawmakers love that one.
But not everyone thinks it's a home run. Salt Lake City Councilmember Alejandro Puy represents the West Side. He told the Salt Lake Tribune the bill is, quote, a slap in the face. Puy is concerned it is being pushed through the legislature too quickly without input from West Side communities, and that the city is handing over control to the state without a guarantee the financial investment to get a team here will pay off. Utah's bid could fail, after all.
But it can't all be about money, right? There's also the love of the sport and the camaraderie that goes along with a ball or puck game. We'll hear what that can do for a city after the break. You're listening to State Street.
Hi, I'm Caroline Ballard. I'm going to take a wild guess that you like listening to podcasts, because you like learning. And I'm going to take another wild guess that you sometimes like putting that newfound knowledge to the test. Well, I have good news. State Street is hosting another politics-themed trivia night. Join us on April 24th at Fisher Brewing. We'll have more info for you in the coming weeks. And who knows, what you hear on the podcast might just show up in a question. Happy listening.
Support for State Street comes from the Hinckley Report on PBS Utah. I'm Jason Perry, director of the Hinckley Institute of Politics. The Hinckley Report is Utah's weekly political roundup, bringing together Utah's top journalists, political thinkers, and lawmakers to help you understand how politics impacts your life. Listen to the Hinckley Report wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to State Street. I'm Sage Miller.
And I'm Sean Higgins. Okay, we now know that pro sports are expensive.
Money is tangible, an exchange of goods. But there's this other part of it.
I keep coming back to this stereotype we talked about earlier that Salt Lake and Utah are just boring.
There's the reputation part, like Charles Barkley and Shaq were talking about. It comes down to identity.
To help us figure out a little more of this idea of the intangible, we called on Matt Kavanaugh.
He's a freelance writer and columnist. He typically writes about the military, but he penned a piece for the Utah News-Dispatch on what bringing Major League sports to Utah means beyond economics or infrastructure.
I spoke with Kavanaugh when he was on a family vacation to the other side of the earth in New Zealand. He told me what it was like growing up in a state that did have Major League sports. It all started with a square white handkerchief called a Homer hanky.
A Homer hanky is an 8 by 8 inch square handkerchief that in 1987 was first put out into the Twin Cities metro area in Minnesota as sort of a rallying little tiny white flag for the Minnesota Twins during the 1987 Twins Major League Baseball playoff drive. Now, I was 8 years old then, and for a little while, it was honestly the most prized possession that I had. And it, you know, it worked. And the Twins were in a best of seven World Series. They were down 3-2. Do or die. They had to win 2 games in game 6 and game 7 at home in our stadium, and they did. They did it in 1987 and they did it in 1991. And that little white flag, that Homer hanky, has been sealed in my memory and pretty much every other Minnesotan that's this age ever since. So I wrote the essay almost as an homage or, you know, like nostalgic for my 8-year-old self, right? And I'm excited for the state of Utah in this regard because I know how important that was to me. And so whoever that future 8-year-old kid is that gets to recreate the experiences that I had, or maybe even has even better ones, I mean, I'm excited for that kid. And I hope that others can see and sense that as a possibility and use it as a ladder to actually making that possibility a reality.
In your piece for the Utah News Dispatch, you said it's about building Utahns. Can you dive a little bit more into what you mean by that?
To me, we're aiming to build a sense of shared awe. Right? Like, think of the last time that you went on a family vacation and as a group, you all looked up at a giant redwood and you felt something together. You felt something in communion with other people. Sports teams are a man-made reason to do that. When you're part of a sports fan culture, if you're all gawking at the exact same thing together, then you're not noticing how you're different or caring all that much how you're different. And it's a way of creating a connection with other people that you wouldn't otherwise have.
So following politics here in Utah, you hear a lot about this conversation around sports specifically. You hear a lot of economic arguments thrown out. Like, yes, this is an upfront cost, but it will pay for itself economically because of the revenue generated with people buying hot dogs, people buying tickets, media rights, all of that stuff. But what would the addition of a Major League Baseball or hockey team mean to the identity of Utah?
Yeah, I think it gets to the biggest question there is, how do you build Team Utah? Economists will tell you that there really isn't an economic justification. But I think the real reason to support a couple of stadiums and a couple of new teams in Utah is bringing this growing population together. And you can't just sit everybody down and feed them a whole bunch of fry sauce and dirty soda. There's got to be a better way. And I think this is a really great idea in order to do that.
So what's in it for these leagues? What would make Salt Lake in Utah attractive or not attractive as a place to bring a franchise as opposed to somewhere like Las Vegas or another Western city?
Yeah, there's great cases to be made for a lot of other cities. I won't speak to that, but I will say that what I understand about the demographics of Utah is that A, they're growing, there are more people coming here, and B, they're young people that are coming here. And from what I understand, all businesses, to include sports franchises, want more and younger customers to develop a lifelong relationship with those customers. And so this is a great opportunity for Major League Baseball and the National Hockey League. But in addition, it's a great opportunity for Utah, like I said, to sort of create something that we can all rally around.
I know you say it's not about building stadiums, but it will cost taxpaying Utahns a lot of money. We're talking billions of dollars here. So who are these teams really for, especially if you really couldn't care less about sports?
You know, in the essay that I wrote, I made the case that the one North Star ought to be that to keep ticket prices manageable for a family or a child to attend. I would actually go one step further. I would suggest that it might make sense for the state to consider making the team either fully or partially publicly owned. Many people are familiar with the Green Bay Packers, for example. There are 500,000 public owners of the Green Bay Packers, and no one owner controls more than 4% of the team. Maybe a full public ownership doesn't make sense in this case, but at least withhold some percentage of each team so that the voting public, who will probably support some of the infrastructure to enable these teams, to have a say in how these teams are managed to make sure that it's truly a public asset. You could easily see how this could be used to productive ends. You could easily also see this going in a negative way that benefits a relatively small share of the population with oversized luxury boxes that price out normal working families. And so I would really hope that the former is the direction the state would travel in and not the latter.
Do you think Utah is trying to prove something?
If it is, it's a mistake. I think Utah doesn't need to prove anything to anybody. I think Utah needs to make itself a better version of Utah. That's it. I think we need to find every opportunity that we can to bring every citizen together into making the strongest Team Utah we possibly can.
That was freelance writer and columnist Matt Cavanaugh.
So we've covered baseball and hockey and how they could bring economic and cultural changes. But what about the other elephant on skis in the room? Cue the non-copyrighted global sporting event fanfare.
The Olympics are, probably most definitely, coming back to Utah.
The International Olympic Committee is, probably most definitely, going to announce this summer that Salt Lake City will host the world for the 2034 Winter Olympics.
For those of us old enough to remember, Utah has been here before. Remember those berets?
And we have the tracks to show for it. Like, literally. The light rail system in Salt Lake County was spurred on by Salt Lake being named a host city in the 90s. That's one big thing the Olympics can do. Transform infrastructure. And even culture.
It brought the world here. And some of them stayed. Park City went from a sleepy mountain town to billionaire's playground. Looking at you, Gwyneth!
There are many people who would say Salt Lake is what it is today because of the 2002 Olympics. It changed public transportation, improved I-80 and I-15. Even liquor laws changed.
And this time around, the IOC is asking Utah leaders to substantially clean up the air before they commit to bringing the games back. They also want Utah to fully embrace public transportation.
But we should say there are definitely people against the games. I mean, Utah had its own drama with the 2002 Olympics in the form of a corruption scandal. That has left a lingering bad taste in some mouths.
Salt Lake, though, is kind of weird in that bringing back the Olympics is actually pretty popular. The Kempsey Gardner Policy Institute says 82% of Utahns are pro-Olympics.
That's not the same in other cities. Citizens in Innsbruck, Austria, and Calgary, Canada, flat-out rejected efforts in recent years to bring the Olympics back to those former host cities.
So yeah, transformation is a big thing that the Olympics can bring, for good or bad. There are former host sites where money has been thrown about, and then the venues are basically abandoned after a few years.
That's not the case here. 100% of the venues from 2002 are still in regular use today. And the Utah Bid Committee says this would be the most economic Olympics ever for that very reason.
While there is tons to explore when it comes to another Winter Olympics, one thing ties it all back to these new sports teams.
Some members of the Salt Lake City, Utah Bid Committee are also part of the efforts to attract Major League Baseball and hockey. Larry H. Miller Group CEO Steve Starks and Ryan Smith of the Smith Entertainment Group are both members of the Salt Lake City, Utah Committee for the Games governing board. So it's some of those same voices pushing for sports expansion and investment.
Some of their arguments are all tied up together, too. The letter from Smith Entertainment Group explicitly mentions the Olympic bid that's underway. It says building a new hockey arena would serve both the games and the NHL.
And remember, Dan McKay's emotional vision for Utah flashes forward to 2034, when all of these things converge.
2034 will be here before you know it. So what will Salt Lake look like then? Will we have Major League Sports teams galore and shiny new stadiums?
How about expanded public transit, like Frontrunner, and more tracks and bus lines?
Oh, to live in a place where I don't have to deal with car insurance. A girl can dream.
One thing's for sure, Utah leaders want Major League Sports. And if there's anything we know about this legislature specifically, they'll put in the work to get what they want.
And that, sports fans, does it for this episode of State Street. I'm Sage Miller.
And I'm Sean Higgins. And speaking of teams, we've got some all-stars in our ranks, too. Our starting lineup for the digital front, give it up for Jim Hill, Raquel Davis, and Eleanor Gomberg.
Heading up special teams in the editing realm is David Childs and KUER News Director Elaine Clark.
And our quarterback, head coach, do-it-all utility player, and water girl is executive producer Caroline the Beast Ballard.
Read our slam dunk highlights reel in our newsletter. You can sign up at KUER.org/State Street.
And there's a box for feedback there, too. Tell us what's on your mind this legislative session, or if you have constructive criticism on our wordplay. That's fine, too.
Yeah, catch you next week.
We still got this energy, Sage. Look at me.
Yeah.
Look at me, all-star.
All right.
Gotta get our heads, keep our heads in the game.
Gotta keep your head
in the
game.
Gotta push through. It's fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Fourth quarter.
From KUER.